welcome a good friend of our open mic and many open mics. Betsy Binstock is a singer-songwriter and also a poet. And she's also going to be a guest host tonight because I've been parceling out some of the hosting duties to give others a chance and have more of a feeling of community than we already have. So you will see Betsy a little later hosting some of the artists who come up on stage. Please give a big welcome to Betsy Binstock.
Ira, how am I doing? Okay. Glad to hear it. I went to the Umbrella last night, and I was struck by a lot of people bringing in songs about the season. And I don't really have any that way, except that they made me think about my grandfather, who spent Christmas time and Thanksgiving with us in New York City. Summertimes, he was in Connecticut and brought back memories of when I was little and staying in my grandparents' house in Connecticut. And if I happened to wander into his room when he was getting organized in the morning, I never knew whether he was going to chase me down the hall with a shaving brush full of shaving soap or with his false teeth. And then there was the time, speaking of teeth, when he decided that one of my teeth needed to come out, and they tied a string around it and tied it to a knob, only it didn't quite work. Anyhow, this is a poem called Grandfather's Horses. In my workroom, a black and white photo of my grandfather at 78, old shanks covered by jodhpur pants. Mounted on Pendennis, his cranky quarter horse, buckskin hide and stiff black mane, trained in fancy steps by a New York City mounted cop. For years, my grandfather trotted out on Penny through the woods on long dirt roads, swatting his crop at hungry horseflies. Long ago, when I leaned against him, cradled by his humorous bulk, in a den full of children's books, of hunting prints and family photos, he embroidered stories about his life. The same topsy-turvy tales he told my mother when she was small and sober-eyed. Once upon a time, there was a tall, slender, handsome gentleman who had a short, fat, dumpy wife. He courted my slender grandmother, a stout young man in casual coat, holding the reins on a strong-minded gelding who refused to whoa when he pulled on the lines. So he'd call out, "Carrie," and keep on trotting, ready to scoop her up, long skirts and all, slim and prim, as on his second time around the block. When he was 82, grizzled eyebrows spilling over used blue eyes, he told me he'd been born in horse and buggy times, and now they'd gone and shot an astronaut out into the sky. When you think about it, that's more than enough change for a man to handle in one lifetime. He tried to give his buckskin horse away, but when the owners didn't ride her and she began to founder, he had to take her back and make her well again. That final winter, he asked the men at the stable to take his Penny out and shoot her, blood clotting slowly on a golden hide. 2 weeks later, he slept his own way out into the bottomless night. At the back of my closet, I keep the riding boots he gave me for the times I rode his stubborn Penny, boots chafed bare by the stirrup straps on her English saddle. And if I breathe deep, I can smell the tang of dried horse sweat beneath the aging layers of Saddle Soap.
Thank you very much, Betsy. And Betsy will be featuring on June 28th and co-featuring, this was just arranged last night. Sam Bayer will be co-featuring with you that night. So that'll be an interesting evening. So.